Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Our mission today is pretty crucial, actually. We're diving deep into one specific attraction myth. It really acts like a psychological speed bump for, well, almost everyone trying to form meaningful connections.
Yeah.
We know that struggle is real.
Yeah.
You know, that feeling of putting yourself out there and just hitting wall after wall.
Exactly. And when people struggle, they often jump to the conclusion that they aren't enough somehow.
Right.
So the natural instinct, but often a misguided one, is to just grab the nearest tool that promises to fix the social anxiety and, you know, create instant attraction.
Okay.
And that tool, 9 times out of 10, is called charm. People get this idea that if they just had more charisma or better jokes, or could just be smoother, more agreeable.
Yeah, the secret sauce.
The secret sauce, okay. That everything would just click into place effortlessly.
But what we're seeing suggests that this charming magic act, it doesn't just fail to work like you expect. It often actively sabotages the connection you're trying to build.
It really can.
So let's unpack the definition here, because we need to be clear. We aren't talking about genuine warmth or, you know, just being friendly.
Right, that's different.
We're zeroing in on performative charm, this calculated persona, the witty, easygoing mask you consciously put on, with the specific goal of getting immediate approval and kind of heading off rejection before it can even happen.
And that distinction you just made between genuine warmth and performance, that's everything.
Okay.
True charisma, it really comes from being comfortable in your own skin. Performative charm, though, that's a carefully managed external presentation.
Like social theater.
Exactly. It's what you show people, not who you really are. The magic trick analogy, it works perfectly here.
How so?
Well, think about it. The dazzling patter, the quick hands, it's all designed to distract the audience, right?
Right, so they don't see what's really going on.
Exactly, so they don't notice the wires or the effort or, frankly, the insecurity that might be hiding behind the curtain.
Okay, I get that charm worn as a mask is exhausting. But isn't some initial social smoothness, like, necessary sometimes just to break the ice?
Yeah.
How do you tell the difference, you know, between healthy warmth, just being interested, and that performative stuff?
That's a really critical question, and the distinction. It boils down to intent.
Intent, okay.
Healthy social warmth comes from a place of genuine enthusiasm, maybe curiosity about the other person. You're engaging because you're actually interested.
Right.
Performative charm, on the other hand, is goal-oriented. Its intent is always to get something.
Like validation.
Validation, attention, maybe a specific outcome like a date or approval. If you find yourself, say, rehearsing lines in your head or constantly monitoring your tone.
Or feeling anxious if you don't get that laugh.
Precisely. If that's happening, you've definitely crossed over into performance. You're basically trading authenticity for temporary approval.
And that magic show, it only really works in the lightest, most superficial settings, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So here's where the deep dive really starts. Let's talk about how that charm just utterly fails the second the stakes get higher.
Yeah.
Like when the interaction becomes emotionally intense or, you know, real.
Well, the performance itself requires a massive amount of mental effort to keep up. So when you introduce stress or vulnerability or conflict, which are the real tests of any potential relationship, the mask just cracks. It can't hold.
And what happens then?
What initially seemed appealing, maybe even dazzling, suddenly feels jarring or hollow or sometimes even offensive to the other person.
Yeah, I think we've all seen that.
We definitely have. Think about that person who's always the life of the party, constantly joking, handing out compliments, playing this flawless, happy-go-lucky role.
Okay.
But the instant you need to discuss something serious, maybe an emotional topic, or address a disagreement, or even just admit a weakness, what do?
They deflect.
Yeah.
Or minimize it. Or tell another joke.
Exactly. They pivot. They can't drop the character.
Because it was never just a behavior.
Right. It was a defense mechanism, a shield against showing their true, you know, imperfect self.
Mm-hmm.
And when that defense fails under pressure, the whole foundation of the interaction just collapses. Because the other person suddenly realizes the connection was built on, like, an edited, idealized version of you.
And they feel cheated.
They feel cheated, exactly. Yeah. Not charmed.
And that feeling, that revelation, leads straight to what you call the repulsion factor.
Mm-hmm.
The people you most want to attract, you know, high-value partners, secure people who know what they want, they are either immediately repelled by that surface smoothness, or they just see right through it.
They do. They aren't looking for theatrics. They're looking for resilience, for truth.
They're looking for something sustainable.
Exactly. Sustainable is the key word. And this brings up an important question. Why is the performance of charm such a massive turnoff for someone seeking depth?
Yeah, why?
Because when you're constantly trying to impress, you're basically broadcasting one loud signal. I don't believe I'm actually worthy of your time unless I perform for you.
Oof.
High-value individuals, secure people, they detect that need for external validation almost instantly. And it signals a fundamental lack of self-worth.
And they know that's not stable.
They know it's not stable. They understand that a connection built purely on performance is incredibly fragile under pressure. If life throws those curveballs we mentioned, vulnerability, conflict, stress, that charm act just cannot hold up.
It's like building on.
It's like trying to build a stable relationship on a house of cards. One puff of wind and it's gone.
Okay, so if the answer isn't being smoother or funnier or more impressive, what is the sustainable alternative?
Well, we pivot completely away from performance towards what we call honest expression.
Honest expression. Okay, define that.
It means moving away from trying to please everyone and instead being clear and upfront about your actual feelings, your thoughts, and importantly, your limits. Instead of always pretending to be that agreeable, flawless persona.
That sounds potentially scary for some people.
It can sound scary, absolutely, because honest expression acts as an immediate filter. Instead of trying to attract everyone with some broad, appealing performance.
You're just putting your real self out there.
Your true self, yeah.
Yeah.
Imperfections and all. And look, this does open you up to rejection, but rejection based on your authentic self, that's actually invaluable data.
How so?
It just means that person wasn't a good fit for who you actually are, which is good information to have early on.
Okay, so it shifts the goal from seeking acceptance to testing compatibility.
Precisely.
But how does that look in practice? Like, give me an example of honest expression. Are we talking about just blurting everything out?
Not necessarily blurting, but stating your preferences clearly, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Even, and maybe especially, when they conflict with what the other person wants or suggests.
Okay, give me a scenario.
All right, let's say you're on a date.
Yeah.
And they suggest an activity you genuinely dislike. The charming persona kicks in and says, oh, that sounds wonderful. I love everything.
Right.
And then you suffer in silence because you're terrified of losing their approval.
Well, we all have.
The honest expression approach, though. It's calm, it's kind, but it's clear. It might sound like, you know, I'm actually not a huge fan of that. How about we try this instead?
Wow. The difference is... It's huge.
It's seismic, like you said. One approach is rooted in fear and desperately seeking approval.
And the other.
The other is rooted in self-respect and confidence. Look, being honest might occasionally lead to a little friction, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But that very honesty demonstrates confidence and maturity. When you express yourself authentically, you're basically inviting the other person to be authentic too.
You're setting a standard.
You are setting a standard that says we communicate truthfully here, and that vulnerability, just the willingness to show up as you actually are, that's the real foundation for sustainable connection.
Mm.
Because it proves you have nothing to hide.
Okay, and this ties directly into the power of boundaries, which you mentioned. We really need to spend some time on this because it feels like the flip side of performative charm.
It absolutely is.
Boundaries seem like perhaps the most magnetic quality people underestimate. So what are healthy boundaries, really? And how do they work as an attraction tool? Because it feels counterintuitive.
Right. It does seem counterintuitive. Boundaries are basically the silent language of self-value. They're not demands you aggressively place on other people.
Okay, what are they then?
They're communications. Clear communications about what you will and won't accept in your own space, your time, your interactions. They signal that you respect yourself enough to protect your energy and your values.
But why is that magnetic? Saying no or standing firm seems like it should push people away, not draw them in.
Well, it pushes away the wrong people.
Oh, okay.
It pushes away the people who only value you when you're convenient or agreeable or giving them what they want without question. But it draws in the right people, the ones who respect confidence and clarity. When someone realizes you have firm, calmly stated standards, they implicitly understand that your time, your attention, your energy, they're valuable commodities.
Not something you just hand out freely to anyone who shows you a bit of attention.
Exactly. It signals self-worth, which is inherently attractive to other secure individuals. They aren't looking for a doormat. They're looking for an equal.
Okay, can you give us a concrete example? A boundary being set effectively, maybe early on in an interaction. Because this is where people panic, right? Mm-hmm. They worry they'll sound rude or demanding, and they just snap back into charm mode.
Absolutely. Let's use a really common scenario. Someone habitually cancels plans last minute. Flakiness.
Yes. Very common.
The charming response, the people-pleasing response is, oh, no worries at all. Totally understand. We'll catch up another time.
While internally seething.
Right. You internalize the disappointment and you signal that your time isn't really that valuable. The boundary response, however, is calm, clear, and focused on self-respect, not on controlling their behavior.
So what would that sound like?
It might be something like, hey, I understand things come up sometimes, but for me, consistent flakiness doesn't really work in a friendship relationship. I value reliability, so why don't you let me know when you're sure you can commit and we can try rescheduling then.
Okay, notice the difference there. It's not angry.
Not angry at all, but it is firm.
Yeah.
It communicates that you value commitment and your own time without attacking them or making demands. Now, the healthy, respectful person, they'll hear that, understand it, probably apologize, and adjust their behavior if they value the connection.
And the person who was taking advantage.
The flaky person who was benefiting from your agreeableness, they might get defensive or just disappear, which, again, is valuable information for you. The charming tactic attracts and keeps the flaky person. The boundary attracts the respectful one.
That shift, well, yeah. From seeking approval by performing to establishing self-respect through clear communication, that really is the whole crux of this deep dive, isn't it?
It is. Charm is about hiding your fear, fear of rejection, fear of conflict. Boundaries are about stating your truth calmly and respectfully.
And that truth ultimately creates trust.
It creates trust, exactly. When we connect this back to the bigger picture, you see why the combination honest expression and healthy boundaries builds a sustainable connection. The moment you stop performing for approval and just start communicating your standards and reality.
You attract people who value that, who value the real you and your demonstrated self-worth.
Precisely.
Okay, let's bring this home with that final analogy you mentioned earlier, the one that really ties it all together. Charm is like
sugar.
Sugar, okay.
It's instantly sweet, right? Okay. It gives you that temporary spike of validation. It seems broadly appealing. But ultimately, it's empty calories. It leaves you feeling unsatisfied, hungry for something real.
And the alternative, honest expression with boundaries.
That's like a balanced, nourishing meal.
I like that.
It's sustaining. It actually builds genuine strength in the connection over time. And importantly, it requires you to first understand your own needs, your own values, what actually nourishes you.
And the practical benefit here seems huge.
Oh, it's wonderful. Authenticity doesn't require you to memorize lines or rehearse jokes or manage some complicated performance schedule 24/7.
Sounds exhausting just thinking about it.
Right. It simply comes from self-knowledge, from the willingness to show up as you are, imperfections included, and that is just so much less draining than constant performance.
Yeah, definitely. And just to clarify, because this is important, we're talking about confidence here, not arrogance.
Absolutely. Crucial distinction, yes.
Honest expression should still include kindness and respect. It's grounded in truth and clear communication.
Not manipulation or theatrics designed just to get a specific predetermined response from someone.
Right. You're communicating your reality, not trying to fabricate their approval.
Exactly. So to kind of sum up our deep dive today, charm, when it's used as a performance, is inherently fragile. It's fleeting. It's designed to distract, not to genuinely connect.
Mm-hmm.
If you want sustainable, meaningful relationships, the kind that actually last and feel good, then authenticity and healthy boundaries are the only reliable way forward.
They're the real magnet.
They're the true magnetic forces that attract people who will genuinely value you for who you are, not just for the role you can play.
Okay. We really hope this shifts your perspective on what true attraction is all about. Maybe mm-hmm. gives you a new toolkit. One focused on self-respect rather than performance.
Stop trying to earn approval. Yeah. Start establishing clear, honest communication.
Right. And speaking of self-respect and how you approach connections, next time we're going to explore why excessive chasing or pursuit, you know, that feeling of always being the one reaching out,
mm-hmm.
why that's not only draining, but actually kills presence, as they say.
Mm.
And we'll look at how you can transition from desperately chasing connection to confidently choosing the people who align with you and enter your life.
It's a really important follow-up to today's topic. Until then, here's maybe a practical, provocative thought for you to consider this week.
Okay.
Just notice. Notice the next time you feel that urge to turn on the charm, that impulse to be extra witty or agreeable or impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And when you feel it, just pause and ask yourself, what am I truly trying to get right now? Is it approval, attention, validation, or maybe what am I trying to avoid? Rejection, conflict, showing vulnerability.
Interesting. Identify the underlying driver.
Exactly. Once you identify that impulse, just practice maybe even just internally or in a journal expressing that need or fear honestly and calmly instead. It's a small step, but it's a really powerful one toward building real non-performative connection.
Great food for thought. See you next time for the next deep dive.